Well, good morning and Happy New Year. Hey, before we jump into the message today, I did want to kind of honor somebody today for just a moment of distinction that this person had over the course of a fantasy football season. We do a thing in our fantasy football league that if you get last place, you get to wear this pink sash that says fantasy football loser. So David Stone, our bass player, gets to, yeah. Some of you are like, I want to join that league. Here you go.
Oh, thank you.
It's beautiful. It goes with your eyes and everything. All right. Goes with my head. All right. Well, we have just come off of Christmas season, and many of you, you traveled over the holidays, and we also did a little bit of traveling with our family. We went up to my parents' home in Painesville, Ohio, which is like 25 miles northeast of Cleveland. When you hear about lake effect snow or the snow belt, that's where I'm from. In fact, over Thanksgiving, my parents, they got between 3 and 4 feet of snow from that lake effect snow. I remember, though, not long after Sarah and I first got married, we traveled up to my parents' home for Christmas. And now if you travel that way around the holidays, you just kind of have to watch the weather. That kind of determines when and if you end up going. So we made it up to my parents' house at Christmas. But while we were there, we got hit with a snowstorm. So it started snowing in the morning. And by the afternoon, we had about 22 inches of snow. And Sarah was just amazed. She couldn't believe that she's from West Virginia, how hard and fast it had come down. But she was absolutely appalled when later that evening I asked her if she wanted to go out to dinner. She's like, there's over 20 inches of snow. And I'm like, yeah, like we have these things called snow plows. And so we went out and it was no problem, but we went out to dinner. But for those of you who have young children, you know that traveling gets so much more difficult when your children are young. So we have 3 daughters, but travel was probably the most difficult after Anna, our second child, was born. Because Olivia and Anna, they're only 17 months apart. So they were both in these really dependent stages, but in different stages of dependency. And so I remember packing up the old soccer mom van, you know, and after Anna was born and trying to travel with 2 young ones, we would have to pack up so much stuff. 2 strollers, a baby car seat, a toddler car seat, a pack and play, bedding, pillows, activity mat, toys to last days and days, hundreds of diapers for an infant and an under 2-year-old, lots of wipes, lots of food, lots of medicines, a big box fan because we were just stupid back then and didn't buy a little sound machine. We would carry a big old box fan with us. I don't know why. Lots and lots of clothes we would carry. And this was winter time, so bulky winter clothes. And then we would have to fit our stuff in the van. And so the van would just be packed out. And it was crazy to travel with that much stuff. Some of you are living that right now. But for most of us, that's kind of how we travel around in life in general. We travel around with too much luggage, too much baggage as we travel through life. And as I travel through life, it's amazing how easy it is to travel heavy, to accumulate more and more stuff, which requires more and more care and more time and more energy. Wouldn't it be nice to travel light? And that's what I want to talk about this morning as we enter into a new year, traveling light. 2 years ago, I started 2023 with this sermon series called Let It Go. And in that series, we talked about some things that we need to let go of that are holding us back from fully following Jesus and making the impact that he's called us to make. And so we talked about letting go of shame, letting go of anxiety, letting go of resentment, letting go of pride. And so in a way, we were talking about this idea of traveling light. And we could certainly do that today. We could spend some time talking about how we accumulate hurts and hang-ups, how we accumulate seeds of discontentment and doubt, and how we accumulate pride and envy and all sorts of emotional and sinful baggage that grows into all sorts of problems. But today, I literally want to talk about the stuff, the material possessions that we continue to accumulate that may be weighing us down, that may be holding us back and talk about letting go of that stuff so we can really live the life that would be honoring to God. You know, at this time of year, many of you, you're kind of looking around the home and you're realizing you have a whole lot of stuff in your house right now, right? Like the kids have opened up some presents and so now there's toys all over the house. You opened up some presents and now you have more stuff and you're figuring out what to do with it. And so I want us to talk about letting go of the stuff that weighs us down. And here's the key thought for you today. It is better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does matter. All right, we're going to do a little participation here. Let's say this together. Ready? It's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does matter. All right? The problem is everything in our culture screams the opposite, doesn't it? Instead of being grateful for what we do have, everything in us seems to crave more of what we don't have. Everything around us tells us to crave more and more of what we don't have. And this problem is not a new problem. It's a problem that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis, when God told Adam and Eve that they could eat from any fruit, from any tree, except for one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so what did the serpent do? The serpent tempted them with the one thing that they weren't supposed to have. And Satan continues to use that tactic on us today. We have continued to buy this lie. And the lie is that what you don't have is what you need to be happy, to be fulfilled, to feel complete. We've bought this lie that something else out there is what I need, that more is always better. If one candy bar is good, two candy bars is better. If $1 is good, $2 is better. If one vacation is good, two vacations is better. If one car is good, two cars is better. If one spouse is good, yeah, let's just stop there. When I was a kid, we usually didn't have a lot of candy around our house. And I remember this one year, I went off to church camp, and my parents, they put a little money on this account that we had for canteen each day, for a snack each day. So each day I would go to canteen, I would go to the snack place, and I would not use the whole amount each day. I would save some back. But on the last day of camp, my friend Ben and I, we saved up and we used up all our remaining balance of our canteen accounts, and we bought as much candy as we could to take home for the ride home. So when Ben's parents picked us up, we had a couple brown bags full of candy, and we sat in the back of his sweet station wagon, and we made the hour and a half drive home, and we began to just gorge ourselves on all this candy. And a little while into our drive, we had to pull over so Ben could show me that he tasted the rainbow, as rainbow-colored puke went all out of his mouth. And we learned an important principle that day that I want to teach you today. And it's a principle that comes that we find from Scripture. And I want us to look at this little tidbit of wisdom from King Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, next week, I'm really excited about this. We are actually going to start a series through the book of Ecclesiastes, and we're going to look at larger sections of this book. But today, I just want to give a kind of a taste of some of the wisdom from this book by looking at one little verse that's tucked away in Ecclesiastes 4:6. Ecclesiastes 4:6 says this: better one handful with tranquility, with peace, with joy, than two handfuls with toil, with labor, with hardship and consequences, and chasing after the wind. Better one handful with tranquility. This is enough for me. I'm content. Than two handfuls with toil and a few extra pounds and a chasing after the wind. In other words, it's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does matter. Why? Because your life is too valuable. Your calling is too great, and your God is too good for you to waste your life on stuff that does not last. Jesus would give us this warning in Luke 12:15. Then he said to them, "Watch out." So when Jesus says, "Watch out," it makes your ears perk up, right? He's trying to warn you about something that could be extremely dangerous. So he says, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Why? Because life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. So say this with me, say it after me. My life does not consist of my stuff. Now, some of you don't believe that. So let's say it with a little more conviction. Ready? My life does not consist of my stuff. You need to understand that you are not what you have. You are not what you drive. You are not what you wear. You are not what you own. Again, the lie is what you don't have is what you need to be happy, to be fulfilled, to be joyful, to be cool, to fit in, to feel good about yourself, to feel significant, to be important, to be popular, to have a house like Joanna Gaines. Whatever it is, the lie is what you don't have is what you're needing to be happy, to be fulfilled, to be complete. More, 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 more stuff. And it's all a form of greed. And Jesus says, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. But what if the stuff that you have is actually robbing you of the life you want? Better is one handful with tranquility than two with toil and stress and anxiety. It's chasing after the wind. So this morning, and maybe I'm a couple of weeks late with this message because all the gifts are opened and the kids are still playing with the boxes instead of what was inside the boxes, right? But I just want to quickly give you three thoughts about what I'm calling one handful living. And the first thing I want to encourage you to do, because one handful is better than two, is to throw out. To throw out. Again, life does not consist in the abundance of the junk that is in your drawer, in your closet, up in your attic, in your garage that is so overflowing that you can't even park a car in it, or in the storage unit that you rent because you don't have enough room in your house to hold all your stuff. Now, when I say throw out, I am not talking about decluttering. I'm talking about de-owning. Get rid of stuff. I would argue all day long that owning less is way better than organizing more. Wouldn't you agree? Owning less is way better than organizing more. A few years ago, around Christmas time, Sarah and I, we took some time off for the holidays to be home, to be with our daughters. We did a little bit of a staycation. But while we were off, we decided each day we were going to take one small area of our house and we were just going to go through all of the stuff in it and just get rid of some of it. And it was amazing how much stuff we kept that we didn't really need or even use. And now we do this quite often. We just go through our house and we throw stuff away or we give it to Goodwill. Now, I'm not much of a hoarder, but one thing that I had been kind of bad about was I would keep a bunch of documents, you know, like old receipts and bills and stuff like that. They say that you're supposed to keep some of that stuff for like 7 years, but I realized I had a bunch of these documents in boxes going all the way back to 2000 when Sarah and I were first married. And so by the time I was going through stuff, it was, I think, around 2019. So I had accumulated all these documents. And so I went through these boxes of documents, and I just shredded thousands and thousands of papers, and I ended up throwing out 22 bags of shredded documents. It was crazy. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus had this encounter with a young man who had asked this question. He asked, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, well, if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Which ones? He replied. Jesus replied, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I've kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? And Jesus answered, that if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. So this young man had a whole lot of stuff, but the problem wasn't that he had stuff. The problem was his stuff had him. And Jesus said something to him that Jesus didn't say to anybody else in all his encounters with other people. And he only told this to this guy because he knew that the problem this guy had was with his stuff. So Jesus told this man to sell all that he had, to take that money and give it to the poor. And then Jesus said to him, then you will have treasures in heaven. In other words, you will have less of the stuff that doesn't matter and you will have more of what really does matter. The problem was this guy was so into his stuff that scripture says that when the young man heard what Jesus said, he went away sad because he had great wealth. In other words, he chose stuff over Jesus. Now, please hear me out. It is not wrong to have stuff. It is not wrong to be wealthy. That is not the message here. But it is wrong when your life is defined by your stuff. It is wrong when you believe that more stuff is actually what you need to be fulfilled. It is wrong when your stuff, or anything for that matter, comes before Jesus. So why is it that we hold on to so much stuff? Why don't we just give it away? Why can't we throw it out? And there are two big reasons why we don't throw out those knickknacks, why we have so many dishes, why we still have VHS tapes. Some of you kids are like, what are VHS tapes, right? Well, there's two reasons why you still have those MC Hammer pants in your drawer. And one of the reasons is fear. We're afraid we might need it in the future. You don't want to be wasteful. You want to be a good steward, right? So I grew up with this mentality. My grandparents grew up in the Depression era, and my parents sort of inherited that poverty mindset. I need to save it. I might need it. I paid good money for it. And some of that mentality is understandable and even good. Like we didn't have a whole lot of money growing up. And so with four kids in the house, we had to do a lot of things to try and save money. For instance, we would wash and reuse Ziploc bags. Of course, we didn't have Ziploc bags. We used the generic ones, but we would have to wash them out and reuse them. We would reuse aluminum foil. Like I would have to rinse it off, dry it off, fold it up, put it in a cabinet so that someone else could use that aluminum foil later. If we used a stick of butter, we would save the wrapping paper from that butter and we would use it later to grease pans. So those weren't too bad, but the next two I want to share with you are pretty gross. So I'm just going to be honest with you, and you're not allowed to judge me for this, okay? So we had a sink next to our washer. So when we washed clothes, we would put a stopper in that sink next to the washer, and then the water from the washer would drain into that sink, and we would reuse that water to wash the next load of laundry, because city water was expensive. And then here's the grossest one. If someone took a bath, we would save the water for the next person to use for their bath. So we didn't have a problem with like, hey, it's time to take a bath. I'll go first, right? Like, we didn't want to go next. Again, some of this was just us trying to be frugal, except for the laundry and bathtub. That was just plain gross, right? But many times out of fear, we hold on to stuff, so much stuff, when instead we need to trust God to be our provider. And so maybe you need to implement a rule in your life, like starting this new year, get a new shirt, give a shirt. Get a pair of shoes, give a pair of shoes. Get a sweater, give a sweater. Go into your closet, and if you haven't worn it in the past year, give it away. And don't just do this with clothes. Start walking around the house, the garage, the attic. Go into your junk drawer, the junk closet, and just start removing. And what this does is it actually frees me up from the pressure of managing so much stuff. But you think, well, what if I need it in the future? Well, God, I trust you to be my provider. Why is it that we don't often give? Because of fear. Another reason we don't tend to give away or throw away is because of sentiment, right? Like that was my first ribbon I won when I was 4 years old. Right? Those dishes that we never used were handed down to me from my great aunt's former dresser's Chihuahua's breeder, who I never met. I need that. Or this is my child's first drawing that she made in kindergarten. And then here's the 78th drawing she made. Here's the report card when my child was in fourth grade, when they almost got straight B's. This was the cast from my broken arm. Here, smell it. I actually had a friend whose mom kept his old cast from when he broke it in middle school, and he was like 40 when she gave it to him. It's so gross. Here's my daughter's first diaper that she did her first duty in, right? And so we tend to keep because of sentiment. So some of you may remember the name Marie Kondo. She's a professional organizer who's gained a huge following over the years, and she actually had a Netflix show. But she makes a great suggestion for those of you who are very sentimental. She suggests that we take the things that have sentimental value to us, but they're just kind of occupying space, and we literally thank those things for the purpose they served in the past, and then bless someone else with it. Unless it's baby's first diaper, then please throw that thing away, okay? But better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. The second thing I want to encourage you to do is to buy less. Again, maybe I'm a few weeks late with this message because we just finished Christmas. But let's not fall for all the trappings. Don't fall for the advertisements. Don't fall for the big sale. Like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime sale. You don't need that 12th pair of running shoes. You don't need that newer set of pots and pans when your old ones are working just fine. For you musicians, because musicians are just notorious for this, you don't need that fifth guitar. I say that because I only have four guitars. So you don't need that fifth guitar. Did you know that 62% of people actually admit to shopping to cheer themselves up? So they aren't shopping to get something that they need. They just feel down, so they're shopping. And then they get into a financial mess, which gets them down some more, and it's just a vicious cycle. And shopping has just become just a form of entertainment. Maybe you need to make Psalm 119, 36 to 37 your prayer. I love this passage. It says, "Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word." I love that. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. It is better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does matter. One of the things that I want to do better at with my daughters is to choose experiences over things, over stuff that we get them. Experiences over things. I want my children to enjoy, to have great memories of experiences over just stuff that we got them. And I'm not talking about these ridiculously expensive vacations or anything like that. That's not what I mean by experiences. I mean board games at the dining room table together, going on a hike together, praying with my family, reading scripture together, inviting other people over to our house and sharing life with another family. I mean getting my butt kicked at an old game of Mario Kart with Olivia, playing music and singing with Anna, watching some Marvel movies and discussing it with Avery. And yes, I'd like to take them to a few more memorable places that aren't super expensive. But when you buy less, there's a lot of freedom there, a lot of joy, and a lot more time for relationships and experiences, because you aren't trying to constantly organize, pay for, manage, and reorganize all your stuff. And then finally, to really live with one handful rather than two, give more. Give more. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 6, 17 to 19. He said, "Command those who are rich in this present world." Now, let me pause here. Let me stop here. Because many of you, when you read that first line, you're starting to think of somebody else. You're starting to think of someone else who is rich. Most of you are thinking, yeah, I know some rich people, but I'm not one of them. Or I got a friend at college, and her parents pay for everything, but I've got to get a job. I'm not rich people. So look, I don't have enough time to get into all the statistics, so I'm just going to ask you to believe me here. We are rich people. We are. Like, if you drove here today, you were in the top 5% of the richest in the world. And I could probably give you enough reasons to make you think that you are in the top 1% to 2% of the richest in the world. So anyway, Paul says to you, to me, he says, command those who are rich in this present world, command us not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Give more. It's the start of a new year. Actually budget to give more, to be generous and willing to share. And when we do, we lay up lasting treasures, because it's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does matter. So, better one handful with tranquility, with contentment, with peace, with joy, with simplicity, with margin, with the ability to be generous, than two handfuls with toil, with more and more and more stuff, and chasing after the wind. Less of what doesn't matter, more of what does. So this one handful living allows us to travel light. To travel light, throw out, buy less, give more. Less of what doesn't matter, more of what does matter. Less of the stuff that just costs more. Less of the stuff that just accumulates and gets in the way. Less of that stuff. More intimacy, more peace, more joy, more deep and committed relationships, more generosity, more blessings that are truly blessings. Less of the imitations, less of the distractions, more of the life that is truly life, because your calling is too great, your life is too valuable, and your God is too good to waste this one life that you have on things that will not last. So, why is one handful living better? Think about it. When you've got one handful, what can you do when someone's down? You can help them up. What do you do if you have one handful? You can give to someone who's in need. If someone's hurting, you can encourage them. You can cheer them up. You can give them a hug. What can you do if you have only one handful? You can give praise to God, because your life is not so full of the stuff that will burden you down and hold you back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have provided us with everything that we need and more. So God, I pray that we would not buy into this lie that something else that I don't have is what I need to feel complete and whole, when what we really need is you and more of you. God, you are what we need. You are what will fully satisfy us and fulfill us. So God, may we take our eyes off of the stuff of life and stop pursuing that so much and pursue you. And so God, if there is anything that we are putting above you, may we repent of it today. Whether it is stuff or relationships or our future, whether we're hanging on to control like we talked about last week, God, I pray that we would surrender it all to you, because you are worth living for. And as we do, as we fully submit to you, may we take hold of life that is truly life, that you will fill us with that joy and that completeness and satisfaction that only you offer. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And so before we wrap up today, I just want to remind you that if there's a decision that you need to make about following Jesus, or if there's something that is blocking you, that you've not surrendered to Jesus, we're going to have some people in our fireside room to your right. We would love to walk you through what it looks like to fully surrender to Jesus. Maybe you need to start this year off right and fully surrender to Jesus and be baptized. And we can do that today. Or maybe you just need someone to pray over you. And so, again, we're going to have some people in this fireside room. You can head over there anytime during this next song.